listening to Go On with Jess Leach, part of the Treehouse Lifestyle Network. Go On is a weekly chat with interesting people on the topics of style, food, design, and the like. On this episode of Go On, I am joined in the studio by Rebecca Schranz and Jeff Siddons, both of Earthbound Beer. We're missing their third, Stuart Keating. He is, I believe, brewing tonight.
He's running a socialist reading group.
But they are here to talk to me about beer and about Earthbound and any weird other topics we can get on. So thanks for being here tonight, guys.
Thanks, Jess.
Thank you.
So Rebecca and Jeff, let's talk about how you guys both kind of got pulled into Earthbound, or really, I guess, Jeff, you kind of formed the idea with Stuart, and then Rebecca, you got pulled into it.
Correct.
They duped you into being of their mad plan.
I don't know if they tricked me or I tricked them.
Gasp. No, yeah, so Stuart and I met back at the University of Oklahoma. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he's from Oklahoma City, and we were neighbors back then, and then he moved to Oklahoma City after he graduated, and after living there for a year or two, he moved to St. Louis to go to Wash U for law school, and then I left Oklahoma, and I was in AmeriCorps for 2 years, where I traveled all around the South working for different nonprofits, mainly doing construction and some outdoorsy type stuff, all the way into working in an office for hours on end. And after 2 years of doing that, I moved back to Tulsa, and I worked at a community college for a year, and it wasn't going anywhere. So I've been moving around so much already, I decided to just head up to St. Louis, because one of my friends, who also knows Stuart, hated his job and decided he wanted to move to St. Louis. So I was like, oh, I'll move up there with you. And we were roommates, and after half a year of living in St. Louis, Stuart approached me with his idea of wanting to start a really small brewery. And I've been thinking about doing like a small business thing of some kind, but I had no idea what. And
sure,
him,
beer
like,
sounds like a good thing to
do. Yeah, I drink it all the time. So, him being a lawyer and also going to business school, I was like, that's a good combination for someone to work with. And yeah, he approached me about it, I think February or January 2014. And then. Yeah, after that we started formulating it, and he mentioned that he'd worked with Rebecca before and that he thought about bringing her on board.
Here I am.
Here she is.
So Stuart is the beer brewer, like the master brewer, if there was one?
Yeah, he did home brewing for like 6 years while in law school, because he told me he hated law school. So to distract himself, I guess he did started doing home brewing stuff.
Okay, and then he's been teaching you a lot of...
Yeah, I really, like, I'd watched people do some homebrewing stuff before and drank homebrew, but I had never really done it myself until he started showing me after he pitched the idea to me.
Sure, and do you feel like what you're doing at Earthbound is kind of like homebrewing because it's so small?
Yes, very much so. It's like the first, I think it's like the first upgrade if you were going step by step from homebrewing to try and be somewhere the size of, you know, like Schlafly. It would be the first step into commercial brewing that you would take from a like advanced homebrew setup.
Cool. And Rebecca, you came in to slap them around a little bit, make sure that they come to podcasts on the right days.
I heard the cats.
You heard them.
I thought you said hurt. That's I was like, you're off the team. I don't know what you did to those cats, but you can no longer work with us. I'm sorry.
What's funny is I have a gang of alley cats that live around my house.
You have a gang of alley cats?
Yeah.
Rebecca is the leader of a gang of alley cats.
I'm not the gang. I just see them frequently. And I'm going to start hearing them pretty frequently, too, since it's going to be nice outside.
So alley cats aside.
No, let's talk more about that.
No, speaking of alley cats and alleys, the Earthbound space used to be an alley, right?
Yes.
In between buildings, and then somebody put a roof on it and made it made it a lot of different things. So you guys brew and serve beer out of a space that is 10 feet by 100?
Correct. Yeah, 1,000 like square feet.
Yeah.
It's a tiny little space. That's welcoming and lovely and warming, and I think that has a lot to do with the wood all over the place.
It's really very quaint.
It is very quaint at Earthbound Beer.
Quaint in the best sense.
My best friend called it simple.
It is pretty simple.
I mean, it is, but in a good way.
Yeah. It's not a negative.
The beer's
term.
Not simple.
The beer
it's very
is
complex.
The beer is complex.
Very complex and weird. So tell me about some of the weird brews that you guys have had. I just had that pepper and tea something something.
With cardamom.
Oh, yes. So if you go to cityinajar.com, you can read about Earthbound Beer. I did an interview with Rebecca, and she told me about their super scientific sniff test. So I won't recant the entire thing here. If you want to read about it, you can go to cityinajar.com and see it. But I would assume that cardamom is one of the spices that you all picked up.
Yes.
And
easily accessible, smells great, tastes wonderful with black pepper and tea.
Yeah.
As it turns out.
Weird beer. Light beer. Light-ish. I don't know.
We're ready for spring.
Yeah, I'm not a beer classifier, so I don't know that I could like give it its name, but it tasted light to mm-hmm. me.
It is quite light, yeah.
So what else? Do you guys have a chicken and waffles coming?
Yes.
And
chicken and waffles is coming up. Also, smell test beer with the fenugreek.
Yeah, chicken and waffles beer has we use some biscuit malt in it.
Yes.
Like a bready flavor to it. And also, we use fenugreek. And fenugreek is actually used in lots of things that are maple-flavored, but since maple syrup costs so much, most things that are maple-flavored don't actually have maple syrup in them.
Yeah.
But fenugreek has the same like maple flavor and like tones that maple syrup does, so they just use that as a replacement.
Well, I'm excited to try that. I'm a little hesitant.
It'll be good. I'm going to track down some morels this spring, or I should say I'm going to hunt some morels this spring.
Oh, weird. Mushroom beer.
Mushroom beer's a thing. I had...
You guys are, like, putting all the stuff that, like, you don't eat as a kid into beers. It's like, you're going to have, like, snap pea beers, you
Luckily,
know?
You have to be 21 to drink our beer.
Like Brussels
yes.
sprout beer. We can talk about the sniff test a little bit. Why don't you, I saw some Penzi spices on your rack. That's personally one of my favorite spice shops.
So that's where it begins. We go to Penzi's because we love Penzi's, but we are a small business that just opened. So we need to find spices that we could also find elsewhere. And we can track those down in bulk, which also is required for the beer. But yeah, mostly you find a place that has some really interesting, wonderful spices and you stick your nose in everything and see what might go with a beer style that will be brewing or is reasonable for the season.
Have you guys like found that you have a difference in smells? Because I would assume that none of you guys are like trained like sniff test. That's the worst. I was going to go along the lines of like sommeliers and whatnot.
Right.
They're like trained to smell like certain things. But like if you're smelling pepper and you're smelling pepper, is it like the same smell? And Rebecca's like, this would taste great in this.
Well, it's interesting because my favorite thing when people buy a new beer is seeing the reaction and then seeing what they think the beer tastes like. So along the sense of smell is taste. I mean, they're essentially the same thing. And everybody has a different palate, and with that different sense of smell. And I have people tell me the craziest things that they think the beer tastes like. Like the pepper and blonde tea, people think it tastes like coffee.
Hmm.
I've not heard that.
I heard it twice in one night.
Hmm.
Maybe just from the same person.
I just thought that was so bizarre.
But do you guys think that the beers taste differently?
Yeah, I think my taste buds are pretty dead because Stuart will taste things and be able to like swish around his mouth and be like, oh, this is off in it or something like that, or the beer's ready to go.
And you're just
and I'll
like,
drink
great,
it and be like, yeah,
like
it's this fine. I would drink this if you served me right now. So I think he's let me get that taste down a little better than I do.
Well, Stuart's it's a good definitely. Thing that he's that master brew mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stuart definitely is the best palate of the three of us, it seems.
Yeah, I'm fine saying that.
So where are you guys just getting your recipes? Are you, you know, Googling how to make beer?
Stuart told me earlier this week that we needed to start making some of our new beer because the recipes were starting to pile up in his head.
Okay, like so Stuart's head is where you get a lot of the recipes.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think he's come up with a lot of the ones on his own. While he was homebrewing, he has like a big cookbook, like lists he came up or recipes he came up with, some that he tried and other ones he'd never tried that he wanted to. And so now he's bringing out some of those from years past, but also I think at the same time coming up with ones along the way. But like half the beers we have that we serve right now are ones that we had homebrewed before. And the other half are ones that we just tried out for the first time on our system. But since the size difference between our homebrew system, I guess it's, what, six times as large as a... Well, our homebrew system was about one... It was about 5 gallons of beer at a time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And our commercial system now is about, what... 45 gallons, usually. We do either...
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, about 45 gallons.
I was going to ask how much beer you're brewing when you brew.
That's
each...
the maximum capacity we can do. And so, really, it's not that hard to scale up a lot of the recipes we had
sure.
that we did home brewing. But also, like I was saying, about half the ones are ones we've never tried before. And so it's kind of fun to see, just try something brand new and see if people like it or not. Because really, like, our Belgian Pale Ale was the first beer we did that we had not homebrewed and tried in our system. And I think it was, like, a top-selling beer of ours the first month it was out, our first week, so...
Still is.
Yeah, it's pretty neat to have, like, a beer that we just never tried before that went over that well for its first time on the
tap. Yeah, so how many beers do you guys have on tap currently?
Six.
Six, yeah. and you have eight taps?
We have eight taps.
Right?
And we either have six of our own and like two guest taps, or we'd like to get to the point where we have all of our taps be our own stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
Probably
stuff.
By the time this airs.
Yeah.
And you guys, and you can get growlers.
You can fill 32-ounce growlers.
We sell 32-ounce growlers, and we'll fill 64-ounce, which are the 2-quart ones, but those are so large, they can drain our kegs really easily, so we prefer the 32-ounce, but we'll still fill the larger ones.
If you're just jonesing for some Earthbound beer.
Do you pick it up and take it home?
Mm-hmm. Share it with others.
Tell them where you got it.
Earthbound.
At the tiniest shop on Cherokee Street. Actually, you guys probably aren't the tiniest. I think Little Dipper might have you beat for tiniest.
Yes.
They are smaller.
Yes.
But tiniest bar.
On the street, yes.
On the street, yes. So what else about Earthbound?
Yeah, we're just transitioning to our spring lineup, which is a lot more light beers. And like you guys talked about earlier, the pepper... And black tea cardamom blonde ale is kind of like the first one that we had coming out for spring. And we're moving away from a lot of our darker beers. Actually, a lot of the beers we have on tap right now, we probably won't brew again. This will be our last time people can get them. Yeah. And then we'll start moving out like some more IPAs and blonde
ales. Like maybe
ales.
That double IPA again?
We have it. It'll be probably out the week that this... Oh, the double is actually for Lublin.
Oh.
Oh, no. Is that what we're doing with Lublin?
I think part of it is. We'll probably have some kegs of it at our own place,
That double.
Though.
I know. I've seen you, girl. I've seen you drink those doubles.
But no, like right now, every beer that we have in our fermenter, we have six fermenters. They're all 55 gallons. Every beer we have in them right now, and they're all full, are beers you've never had on tap before, except for one, which is the double IPA. But the rest of them are all new ones we have not released. I think actually all of those are beers we've never tried brewing before.
We'll also have, since you're on the IPA kick, we'll have the Thai Basil IPA this spring.
I'm not really on the IPA kick is the thing. I liked the double IPA because it doesn't taste like an IPA.
You like English IPAs.
Oh.
Yeah, actually our goal with the double IPA was for people who don't like double IPAs normally. Because we found out that there's, for how many people
Mission
there are...
Mission accomplished.
For how many people there are that love IPAs and the super hoppiness, there's also an equal number of people who just don't want them.
Nope, no hops
and
for
so
me, please.
The sweetness added to it kind of balances out the bitterness. And so people who think they would hate them normally might actually like them because they're not like the bitter bomb that a lot of the IPAs
Yeah, I'm
are.
A case study of that. Rebecca like offered me the double IPA and I was like, no, IPAs are the worst. And I had it.
Do you like sours?
I had a few. You know, recently I tried sours when I was in Tucson, and I didn't love the specific sour I had, but would be willing to give them another try. Are you guys going to be brewing a sour?
It's hard to just brew a sour.
Oh,
sours
I don't
know. Take
Do they
time.
Sit?
Yeah. Sours take time.
I don't know the science Too much science involved in beer.
Word on the street is that sours are the new IPAs. But they take forever, so I don't know how the street's just going to like accommodate that really quickly.
I think the street will find a way.
Dig up the beer in the basement.
Yeah.
So what else? What else is going on at Earthbound Beer?
Beer festival season's kind of starting up now, or the weather's getting nicer.
Yeah, are we going to see you guys at, like, the Micro?
We'll be at Micro.
Fest. We'll be at Heritage. Heritage Festival.
68.3 mile marker in Washington. Because cool. We were all environmentalists, and we still care a whole bunch.
We really do.
Jeff, I don't mean to laugh at that at all. You're just, like, so sincere and serious. We need, like... Just like that fatherly head nod, like, we really do.
But yeah, other than, like, the festival starting up to more, I don't know, we'll just continue brewing and trying new stuff out. And, yeah, like, our beers usually aren't on tap more than two weekends at a row.
Yeah.
And then we'll try new things out. And usually we have we just try new stuff and if people seem to like it, we'll brew it again, maybe alter the recipe a little bit, see if we can tweak it in a way people might like it more. Or a different variation on it. And so far, we haven't had any one beers that people seem to really hate. So we brought all of them back. But,
which is good for us.
Yeah, no, it's nice. It's but it's fun because if one beer does go over really bad in the future, it's not that big of a deal. We can just not ever have it again, and we can just drink it ourselves and deal with it.
Yeah, because you're making them in such small batches.
Yes, that's one the fun thing about having such a small operation is that you can constantly try new stuff. Because if a larger brewery tried something really weird and it went over terribly, it'd be, you know, a huge financial
loss.
Hit.
Yeah.
So, but if we do it, it's not really not that big of a deal considering.
Yeah, maybe not like six taps of weird, awful stuff, but like six taps of really like weird, good stuff, and then one tap of something that's like maybe a too much cardamom.
Yeah, luckily we haven't hit anything yet where we're using spices like that. You can easily, if you've never made it before, add too much. And yeah, so far it hasn't happened.
We've had one or two that we've dumped because there's just been too much. The Malab, the first time we did it on the commercial system.
Oh yeah, well like. That was one of the things that came like in the learning process was scaling things up from the homebrew levels we were doing.
Yeah.
Not everything scales up the same way. So if you just try, you know, multiple everything by 9 or whatever, it's not necessarily going to turn out the same way. And yeah, with our ESB, it really did a little bit too much. But
the alleyway got a good drink that day.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
Those were some drunk alley cats.
I don't live in the hood, though, so they weren't my cats.
So when can people come visit you in the tasting room?
So we are open Wednesday through Sunday, tentatively open Wednesday through Friday at 4, Saturday and Sunday at noon. Wednesday through Saturday, we stay open until 1:30 at the latest, and Sunday we close at 8 o'clock.
So a good place to get drinks after work, Wednesday through Friday, and then hang out on the weekends.
Absolutely.
Cool. Thanks, Rebecca and Jeff, for being here with me today.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
We can find you on Twitter at...
Earthbound Beer.
Okay. And earthboundbeer.com.
And Instagram, Earthbound Beer. Facebook, same thing.
Earthbound Beer. Great.
We don't make it hard
for
you.
Oh, yeah. If you want to check the beers out, you can go to Earthbound Beer on Cherokee Street. What is the address?
2710 Cherokee, right next to Melt.
You might miss it if you walk too fast.
So we're right next to Melt.
Tiny, look for the tiny little door with the big red vinyl sticker on the window. Produced by Hug Monster Sound at Shock City Studios. And thank you for listening. Check out cityinajar.com for more stories and for bonus content from this episode. You can tell me what you thought on Twitter at Jess Leach. And listen in next week when I ask someone else to go on.